Royal Queen Seeds interviews.
Welcome to another Royal Queen Seeds interview. Today is here with us Ophelia Chong. Ophelia is the founder and CEO of Stockpot Images, an agency that specializes in cannabis-related imagery, including photography, videos, and illustration. She's been featured in numerous publications, including Forbes, as one of the top 15 women in cannabis. She's also the co-founder of Asian Americans for Cannabis Education. Welcome, Ophelia. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And how are you doing?
I'm all good. Thank you so much. How's your day been so far?
Oh, well, it's 7 o'clock in the morning now in foggy LA. We are in what we call our spring gloom, which is a lot of marine layer, and the mountains are covered in a fog, so it's quite beautiful out here today.
Oh, that's lovely. It's quite foggy here too, and it's not uncommon for the UK, so I don't think anyone will be surprised. But it's quite warm, so we're experiencing the spring here as well.
Perfect.
So, shall we start with this question for your interview?
Yes, please. Fire away, Hazel.
So, obviously, today's topic is photography and cannabis-related photography. So we have a lot of questions for you and tips and tricks that you might want to give us for our, you know, photography path. So the first one is, what are the tools that can't be missed at a cannabis photo shoot? And do they need to be of professional quality?
That's a great question. So what tools do we need at a photo shoot? Well, basically, it depends on what you're shooting, right? Are you on location? Are you in studio? So every photo shoot is different. But the tools that you bring to both are a clear understanding of cannabis, because if we're talking about cannabis, we need to know it. When you're going to shoot it, you should know at least the basics of the plant, so that when you are directing your subjects or trying to find a great spot to shoot, you know what to ask your host or the grower what you want, because you don't want to seem that you don't know anything about the plant and what they're doing, because then they'll treat you differently. So basically, the biggest tool to bring to any photo shoot is knowledge of cannabis.
Okay.
And do they need to be of professional quality? Yes. If you're going to shoot an image that's going to be used online or for someone's portfolio or for marketing, always think professional. Always think about your lighting. Always think about set dressing. What is also in that photo? What should not be in that photo, right? If you're shooting, say, a CEO of a company and his brand's back there, but if you're in his office and there's a few brands that are not his, but you include that in the shot, you need to take all that. So consider the whole story, not just the focus of the subject, but all the characters, as I can call them, around that main subject.
Yeah. And you were talking about location, and I think that's really important. So are there major differences between having a shoot indoors or outdoors? Could you tell us any of these differences?
Sure. So the difference between indoor and outdoor are one biggest thing is lighting, right? When you're indoor, you have to create that mood, that light that you want. When you're outdoors, you have to pick the right time of day, right? Because whatever light is going to be falling, if it's too harsh during noon, right? Or do you want sunrise light, which is more sort of oranges, and at dusk, you get more of a violet color. So really, again, know where you're shooting, research, and get all the tools that you need for both.
Yeah. And particularly on shooting indoors, so you know that you have you can have different lights, as in growing lights. They can have a hue, like a particular color to them. So how can we adjust the lighting if there's a yellow or red light shining on the plant?
Well, here's a question too. Do you want authenticity, right?
Yeah.
Do you actually want to show what the eye sees? But also too, the eye won't see some of the spectrum that LED lights are. So when you shoot it, you'll see that purple, right? Because your eye is not seeing, but the camera is. You can adjust that in post, or if you're using a Canon 5D, get yourself some filters, Right? You can just put a clear color filter according to what you're shooting on there to adjust it. Again, it is what is real and what is produced by science. Right? So a lot of people love that purple light. I would also keep both shots, one that's been adjusted in a saturation, and the other one I would keep as the camera saw it, right? Because some of those purples are really lush and dark, and some photo editors love that look.
Yeah. Obviously, there are differences not only in the setting that you have, but on the subject that you're shooting. So can you let us know what are the differences between taking pictures of living cannabis plants or the harvested flowers?
That's one of my favorites, watching live and then seeing the harvest, right? If you can imagine, when you cut a plant down, of course, it's losing its source of food and water. So it begins to wilt and then start drying. And when you see hanging cannabis, when they hang the cannabis, it's so beautiful because it goes from this deep, deep green to this almost like pale green, right? Because it's losing its color and chlorophyll. And you start seeing the bud just drying a little and all the sugar leaves curling up. When it's fresh, just before harvest, you have this beautiful flower, right? To us, it doesn't look like a flower in your mind, right? As you grow up, like a rose or a daisy. But the cannabis flower is this wonderful, weird, almost alien-looking thing. It has, you can see all those tiny little bits of sparkle in the sugar leaves. So that's a flower. When you start photographing it, always get a really great macro lens, right? If you're using your iPhone, if you're using a new one, that's fine. But really, if you're becoming a professional photographer, get a professional set, right, of equipment. But you can go deep in there and just look at all that beautiful inner workings of the bud, right? When you're photographing dry, again, it's a little bit loss of color, right? Unless you're shooting something like Granddaddy Purps that has a little bit of purple in it.
Yeah.
But normally it's more of a muted green, but then all the browns start coming out and the little bits of gold, yellow are in there. So it's two different. One is very lush. One is more muted, but I would say more dense. So those are the differences. But also, again, read as much as you know about as you can about cannabis, because when you're shooting, you want to know what you're looking at.
Yeah.
And also speak to your host. I love blank, 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 right? And the host will go, oh my gosh, you know everything. Shoot more. Right? So that's my suggestion there.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Ophelia. And do you have any experience in shooting concentrate? And is there any difference between concentrate and harvested buds?
Oh, big difference. Because a bud is, let's think about ketchup, right? You have a tomato and you have ketchup.
Right? Yeah.
So ketchup is a byproduct of tomatoes. So same thing about concentrates. You have the bud and you have concentrates. So concentrates are basically ketchup. It is put through a chemical process to become what it is. It's sort of golden colored product. And there's different kinds. There's sugar, there's wax, there's crumble, there's shatter, right? And also there's distillate. So how those are shot is that just looking at it is a deep gold, right? It's very, some of it's dark. It's just basically gold color. A lot of people like to light it from below. If you get a simple light box, everyone has one of those. Just put your concentrate in a clear jar on top of that, and it just brings the color out from below and makes the concentrate glow, like your shatter or your crumble. So use tools like that. A light box is always great to shoot any oil or concentrate because it needs to be lit from below or behind.
Oh, thank you so much. And this brings us to the next question, and we're stealing all of your tips, but could you share with us your top tips for taking creative pictures? Because, you know, sometimes taking a picture of a plant might seem a little bit boring, even though the plant is obviously not boring in itself, but how can we, you know, spice it up?
Ah, I love that. Spice it up. So, okay, a photograph of a tree is a tree is a tree is a tree, right? A rose is a rose is a rose. And you're exactly correct, too, that a plant, a cannabis plant, in just this natural setting, there are millions of photos like that, right? Millions. Yeah. So you're not really going to stand out unless you have a great location, great time of the day, right? So that's, again, considering the whole picture, not just the focus, right? Everything around it. To take great cannabis photographs, there is another way of thinking it. Think of product photography. When you think of product photography, you think of Estee Lauder, like a beautiful lipstick, the background is lit. Maybe it's on a pedestal. Maybe it's on plexiglass. But same thing, take that bud and think of it as a product. What ways can you display it on a beautiful dish, a contrasting color? Put it on a pattern. So that way, again, it's going back to the basics of photography. When you look at the composition, it's just not the center, it's everything around it. Mona Lisa, the painting. Yes, she's the center, but then when you look behind her, there's the hills, the river, all of that stuff complements her. Because if she was just on a plain background, it would not be the same.
Yeah, no, definitely the ambience of the picture.
Yes, consider the environment, the ambience around it, and also tell your own story. Because if once you tell your own story, your style is yours, right?
Yeah.
You practice by being inspired by other people's layouts and colors or makeup ads, or be inspired by that, but then use that to build the foundation to create your own distinct style.
Thank you so much, Ophelia. Those tips are absolutely amazing. And looking back at your own experience as a photographer, obviously you had many careers and all of them very prolific, but what would you recommend to anyone who would like to start as a professional cannabis photographer?
When a Stockpot had over 240 photographers, and each of them went into it for different reasons. Most of them, I would say only 1% of my 240 photographers were professional cannabis photographers. They just strictly only did cannabis.
Yeah.
The other 99% were also professional photographers that shot many other things, cars, people, locations, architecture, but they also had a love for cannabis. They just didn't have a place to show their images. So they would just shoot it on their own. And then when I found them, they were so happy to find a place to put their images. So for the professional cannabis photographer, you have to think like you're the professional product photographer. You're a professional portrait, professional documentarian. You have to be the best in that field, right? So look at what's around you. See, my biggest suggestion is go to a site, stock photography site like Alamy, which is huge in Europe. So, and just type in cannabis, weed, or whatever you want to put in, and see how many images there are. Also, look at all of them and think which one pops out the most to me, right?
Yeah.
And that image is the one that stands out and gets licensed the most. So what you have to do is put yourself in that field in Alamy. When you Google cannabis, if I had my image in there, would it stand out?
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, then you are just shooting for money. I mean, well, not even for money, but you're just shooting without any artistic intent.
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. And sometimes, obviously, the industry of cannabis can feel unstable, as in the jobs that it offers, because there are like legality issues linked to some of the jobs. So what types of jobs can be expected of a cannabis photographer?
Another great question. Well, the thing is, what I found in California, or basically in states, when you go to a cannabis company, except again for the top 5%, they have money for marketing, right? So they have money to pay professional photographers their going rate. Everyone below that will want to have, they use mostly stock photography that they get for a dollar.
Yeah. Right?
If you want to get into cannabis, what I found is doing cold calls, do stuff for free. Well, okay. No, do not do stuff for free. Let me take that back. Do work for your portfolio. Find a farm, right? Try and get to know them. See if you know anyone who knows them and say, I just want to shoot photographs. I'll give you my best picks, my top 10 photographs, and I'll give them to you for free if you allow me to photograph around here.
Yeah.
And they will probably most likely go for that because they need images too. And then you might be able to turn them into a client. So if you want to get into cannabis, find somebody who is in the cannabis industry already and say, can you make some intros? I want to take some product shots. I want to take some butt shots. Who do you know? It is using the power of your voice to find somebody in the industry. They're not going to come to you. You have to go to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great tip. And, you know, looking at the impact of social media on just the cannabis industry, we can see a very popular hashtag, which is hashtag weed porn on Instagram, especially. What is it referring to?
It's just like in everything else when in cannabis, it's, oh man, that's the biggest, dankest bud, right? I'm going to show my picture and everyone goes, woo, because it's sexy, right? It's similar to being a car fanatic. You saw the Datsun 240Z, you're like, oh yeah, look at the rims, right? So basically, it is appreciation of the bud. And when you tie it to porn, why do people look at porn? It's like, oh yeah, right? Excuse that. Basically, they're trying to use the same enthusiasm in the word porn for weed. And it is just sharing with enthusiasts, oh man, this was the best, you know, harvest I ever, everyone goes, oh, Bob, that's great, right? Yeah. So that's how it's used there. Basically, photography on Instagram, sort of killed photography. All social media killed photography because it basically made it worthless in people's eyes. They're saying before you looked at a Picasso, go, ah, my 5-year-old can do that with crayons, right?
Yeah.
Same thing now. Ah, I can do that with my iPhone, right? Why do I need to hire you? The thing is, though, it goes back to the cliche, give 1,000 monkeys 1,000 typewriters, right? One of them will type up the words, the end, right?
Yeah.
So the same thing, when you have a billion cameras out there, some of them will take one really great photo and that's it.
Yeah.
And that photo will be probably found by a brand, say, hey man, can I repost your photo and give you credit on there? That's it. And everyone goes, oh yeah, I would love that because, you know, I get my word out. Of course, blah, blah, blah. That's what's killing photography.
Yeah.
So to get away from that is, again, if you want to be a cannabis photographer, start a separate social media platform for your photography. Keep it away from your personal because people love butt shots, but they don't want to see you eating a hamburger, right, in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Or visiting your grandpa. So again, separate the two. Have two accounts. One plate is your personal. The other plate is just your pro work. So that's a long winded answer to your question. So,
no, that's actually a great question and a great answer. Now, talking about obviously professional photographer, can you tell us a little bit how to properly edit cannabis picture? Is there a particular area of the post-production that we should be focusing on?
Yes. Because I've edited portfolios for over 25 years. And so here's what I found across the board with creatives, photographers, graphic designers, artists, is that you got to take out the personal, right? Because everything in your book is your baby and you don't want to throw any of those babies. Just like when you go to a garage sale, you're going to put a blender out there and you're saying, I paid $70 for it, so I want $60 for it. Everyone else is going, man, it's a used blender. I'm going to give you $10, right?
Yeah.
So be realistic about your work. When you edit your first one, but also have a second pair of eyes on it and say, look at the flow. Look at how it goes on my website, how it looks in my book, how is the flow, and tell me what I have too much of or too little of or what I need to focus on. photographers have such a personal tie to their work.
Yeah.
And that you have to step back and say, I love my work, but I need someone else to look at it and say, you have 500 photos here. You only need 20 great ones, because everyone's attention span is 15 seconds when they land on your portfolio. They're going to look at the homepage, see that image, and if they were going to continue, they will. So you got to have the best 5 images on your landing page for them to continue. That's why you need a second pair of eyes, or a third.
Absolutely. And editing. Do you think there's too much editing that can be done? And what do you think of people that edit too much their cannabis pictures?
Oh, well, I think you mean by editing photoshopping, right?
Yeah.
Changing the digital original footprint of it.
Yeah.
Well, in cannabis, there's really not too much you can do. You can't really change the look and feel of a bud because it's going to be apparent. I think it probably comes more into saturation, right?
Yeah.
You want to make it too green, too dark, because a professional will know that that's not the color of the bud, right? So I would really not step too far back in contrast or brightness on it. Add a little bit of contrast just to pump up some of the colors, right? Maybe from the background, but don't blow it out unless that's your style, right? If your style is super saturation or totally blown out, then yes, that's your style. But as for photo editing on buds, it really isn't that much done. It's mostly in the filters. On the other hand, if we're talking about beauty, yes, that is all photoshopped unreality. So that is more of a case of too much editing on the beauty, say the beauty products or on a, on the model side. But on bud, there's not that much editing in the way of changing pixels. It's just more about just playing a little bit with the color and the balance.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And this brings us to the last question for us before we dive into the audience questions. And obviously, this is a little bit different because you're based in the States where the legal market of cannabis is way ahead. But here in Europe, we are not that great yet. So what would you say to people that would like to work in the cannabis industry, but they are too afraid that maybe they won't find a conventional job or something stable?
That's a really good question, because it applies to what our planet is experiencing now, right?
Yeah.
From the last year. I mean, we have a very tumultuous year in the States, but also we had extremely tumultuous and still ever-changing global event of this pandemic. And my biggest advice is adaptability.
Yeah.
Do not expect the normal, right? We each of us now are creating the abnormal. Whatever you create, it is going to be your new life.
Yeah.
Right? We're working remotely. 5 years ago, if you said this to anybody, that you're gonna be working at home 24/7. And you're going to love it. You're going, ha, ha, no, they're not going to shut down my $1 million office, right? So for a cannabis photographer working in Europe, CBD is legal.
Yeah.
Right? Switzerland, you're just growing, half the country is growing CBD, right?
Yeah.
And you can photograph that because CBD plants are extremely similar to cannabis plants, right?
Yeah.
So build your portfolio that way. CBD, I think it's like in Italy. The Italian army in Italy is growing hemp, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So shoot that. Romania, I think even Croatia, Hungary, all of them are opening up to hemp, right? Switzerland, of course, is closer to you. Go shoot there. Spain, go to Spain. So there are other ways of shooting cannabis if you want. Shoot hemp. Hemp is fairly similar. It's basically shooting Merlot or a bottle of Chardonnay, right? It's the same thing, just maybe a little different in the varietals of the grape, right? But the same thing. So shoot hemp. That's my biggest thing. Oh, also, there are a lot of CBD products in London. I think Selfridges right now is selling CBD products. They were last year. Maybe they pulled up, but check your local CBD large department stores. They might have a CBD section. Find the brand there. Brand X is being sold at Selfridges. It's CBD. Find out who Brand X is. Contact them and say, hey, look, I'm going to take some photographs of your stuff for my portfolio. I'm going to send you a couple of low-res images. What do you think? Right. That's when you want to do product. And again, track down the farms that are growing hemp. Contact them. Go on LinkedIn. See if you have any one person removed. Say, hey, Bob, you know Fred. Introduce me to Fred. That's how I do a lot of it. I mean, it's all cold call.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Email the company. They all have contact us, right? Say, hello, I'm an aspiring photographer, or here's my portfolio. May I come and shoot some photographs when you have some time and I need it for my portfolio? And of course, most of them will say, yes, come on by, or let's talk to you. And then you can say, let me give you 5 of my top images as a gift, right? Then you have an entree to a new company. So that's how it's starting in the EU. Look for hemp.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Ophelia. That was, honestly, you are a well of knowledge, and it's a pleasure actually to hear you talking about photography. It's amazing. So now I'm gonna ask you a little bit more questions, if it's okay for you. And these are our audience question.
Of course, always,
we ask our questions on our Instagram, and we receive always a bunch of just questions regarding the topic, and this time was no different. So we picked 3 that we think are the most interesting. So the first one is, what to consider in terms of lighting and background to achieve the look of beautiful studio shoots?
Okay. So if you are just beginning and you don't want to spend too much, get yourself on Amazon. Well, here you can get a 6-foot stand with an arm that you can put seamless on, like a 36 inch piece of seamless. That will cost you, in American money, about $30, right?
Yeah.
You have a tabletop. Okay, now, so then you have your background, and you can get different colors of seamless fairly cheap. So that's your background. Now for your lighting, all right? Again, if you're a professional photographer, you're going to have the right lights with the right color on there.
Yeah.
But if you're not professional, and say you're using your iPhone, try and avoid any fluorescent lights because they'll give you a sort of greenish cast. If you can, just go into a room and use your iPhone. It will readjust the color. So try and do a couple of shots. Then in your iPhone, adjust through color and saturation and brightness and contrast to get rid of any of the hues that you don't like the yellows or too much green.
Yeah.
Start there, right? Because what I'm suggesting is start with as little money as possible that you can spend. The one that you're mostly invested in, if you don't have a professional camera kit, is your smartphone, right?
Yeah.
Try and upgrade that because you're going to use it every day. So it's a business expense. So start there, a cheap seamless and your iPhone or your Android.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. And speaking of cell phones, do you have any best practice for shooting on cell phones, especially?
I think because now with you can get any filter for your phone, right?
Yeah.
We've seen that happen where you get catfished, right? That man does not look like that, or that woman is definitely looking like that. So you can do the same thing with your photographs in weed or anything. You can manipulate them. You can add color. Again, if you're going to do that, develop a personal style that you are consistent with. So if you're shooting with your iPhone and you use a certain filter, try and stick to that one filter, right? Because then that way your shots don't all look like Instagram photos, filters. Use the editing tools on the phone. I wouldn't use the Instagram editing filters because then everything starts looking the same.
Yeah.
So use the editing tools that you have on your phone and possibly invest in a few more apps that is a little bit deeper. There are Photoshop apps you can get your phone to do a little bit of editing on there. Again, you're working on a small space, right?
Yeah.
So if any of those images go to print, you will definitely need to know, have it airdrop your photos or send your photos to your desktop and go through all the pixels. Make sure everything's clean, it's high enough res. So that's the only thing about using an iPhone. If you're using anything for print, you're really going to need a bigger, like a more a digital camera, Canon 5D.
Yeah.
Because the iPhone, yes, it can go up to maybe 5 megabytes. But then again, if someone really wants that photo and they want to go big on it, you're not going to be able to do that on your phone. Plus, if you filter it all the way through, it softens all the pixels in your image so that it becomes softer and not as sharp. I mean, if you want to practice doing that, look at one original photo and take it, put it through a bunch of filters, and then explode them up, and you'll see the pixels have all changed and are softer in the filter one.
Yeah.
So there are pluses and minuses using a smartphone, but I see it's better for social media, right?
Yeah.
If you're a professional, you really have to invest in a professional camera.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And lastly, from our audience is, best settings to take pictures of trichomes.
Trichomes. Who doesn't love those little babies? Okay. Well, first of all, if you want to shoot that, you're going to get yourself a really good lens. Get a macro
yeah.
lens.
Yeah.
Also, again, you can get that cheap seamless, a black seamless, because when you shine the light on it, the light will get absorbed onto the bud, not onto the background.
Yeah.
So, again, some people take those fresh buds and they will do a rig, right? They will put them on a thin stick that has a base that's heavy enough to hold it up, and they'll shoot it. And then in Photoshop, they will go in and mask out that stick. So the bud
yeah.
just looks like it's floating. So that's how you would do it. It's very, once you get used to it, it's very fast. Because I had one photographer, Justin MacIver, who shot all the high times competitions. I mean, he went to all of them and he had to shoot all the entries for every
wow.
bud. Which is why Stockpot had the biggest collection of strains, of distinct strains. We had over 3,000 strains. But he shot them all. And so he developed it where it was a stick, put the bud on there, shoot, right? He had consistent
yeah.
lighting, bud, stick, shoot, right? And then later he would go into Photoshop and just edit out the stick so it looks like the bud is just floating there. So it's very simple to do. It just takes practice.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much, Ophelia. Again, it's just so amazing. And yeah, you mentioned Stockpot, and we talked a little bit in the intro. You are the founder and CEO of Stockpot Images, which is a stock photo agency that specializes in cannabis imagery. Would you like to talk us a little bit about that?
I would love to. Thank you so much for mentioning it. I started that 6 years ago, not because I didn't think there was great cannabis photography, but
yeah.
I saw racism because I've been in photography business for about 30 years. So I went to a major stock agency and I typed in stoner, right?
Yeah.
Right. What came up was African-American men and the keywords, right? Because this is how you search for image and stock photography, right? Dog, ball, beach, right?
Yeah.
The keywords for the African-American men with cannabis were addict, illegal,
yeah.
drug dealer, right?
Yeah.
All these derogatory words.
Absolutely.
That have nothing to do with race or cannabis. But
yeah.
it has been propaganda put on to African-Americans in our community to arrest them.
Yeah.
Right? So I saw that and I was enraged. That's why I started Stockpot, because Stockpot focused on the real presentation of cannabis users, from mothers to children to grandmothers, women, men, dogs, cats, but also every photograph of every strain, concentrate, location, farms, videos, everything. We also did psilocybin and hemp. So
yeah.
we had this huge collection, December 2019, and we were also partnered with Adobe. 2019,
yeah.
December, I was at the point where all the other stock agencies were coming after me, right?
Yeah.
I gave my photographers 50% commission. No one does that. No
yeah.
one in a business. Getty, you might get 10% if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Of a dollar. So basically 10 cents. So they were underpricing me with their canvas photography. And all my clients are saying, well, why should I come to you and pay you $25 for this image, you know, up to $1,000 when I can get it at Getty for $1? So basically I closed down. I did not know COVID was going to hit, but luckily I did because COVID hit. And then my photographers, they all went to other agencies, right? Because, you know, they have great work. They should try and sell it. But again, none of them, they are making 10% of a dollar.
Yeah.
10 cents. And that is the story of Stockpot. But however, what it did bring me was an immense network around the world of the cannabis community.
Yeah.
And I believe that I elevated the look and feel of what cannabis photography should be. It is basically hashtag weed porn, but it is applying it to the science, to the love, and to the reality of what cannabis is.
Yeah.
I believe that's what my footprint is in cannabis, is that presentation. And with that legacy, now I still work in cannabis, but now I help other people make money.
Yeah.
And also I'm working in psilocybin as well. I've been doing that for the last 4 years as well, because like, we created the first psilocybin images content on Stockpot too, because I saw that coming. And we also saw hemp. So that's what I'm doing now. I just basically consult and help people make money in the business.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Ophelia.
Thank you, Hazel. That brings us
to the end of this interview. And we really, really enjoyed having you here. And we hope in the future, maybe there's space for a second interview with you. And yeah, we just wish you all the best with all your business ventures. And we hope to hear you soon.
Thank you so much, Hazel. And I would love to come back and talk about another subject.
Absolutely. Bye, Ophelia.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in. You can listen to all of our podcasts on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can also find us on all social media at Royal Queen Seed RQS. We will see you next time.
Royal Queen Seeds Interviews.